Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We're now in Masechet Baba Batra Daf Kuf Mem Tet Amud Bet, at the very top of the Amud, analyzing our Mishnah. Shiar Karka Kol Shuhmat Nato Kayemet. The Mishnah said that if a Shechiv Mirah left any amount of land that he did not give away and then he recovers, the Matana is still good. Now, B'chama Kol Shu, the Gemara then asks, how much is a Kol Shu? And the answer should be any amount. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, karka kedei parasato, enough for him to live on. In other words, enough that he could live off of this land, so it's clear that he was leaving over with the intent that even if he recovers, the gift is good. Rav Yirmiyah ba'abba, Amar metaltalin kedei parasato, not only karka, but even if he left metaltalin, but enough to live on, then that's also makes the rest of the gift non-retractable. The elders said such perfect things. How do I know? Karka tamimai, what's the reason that we say karka? Leaving some karka over makes the rest of the gift valid. What's the reason behind it? Because if he gets better, he's going to rely on it. So, in other words, Zera in one shot is supporting both Rav's statement or Yirmiyah Bar Abba's statement that it's karka kolshu is not a minimal amount but enough to live on, and it's not just karka because the entire point of it is the guy's saying, if I recover, I'll still have what to live on, and therefore he's taking that into account. Matkiflam. Rav Yosef challenged Rav Zera's statement about saying this is so perfect. Umay kavanata, since when is this so perfect? Mandamar metaltalin karkatan. How could Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba say metaltalin works? The Mishnah said karka. Mandamar kedei parasato, and Rav who said it's enough to live on, koshu tanan. The Mishnah says koshu. So we have to answer for both. So Amar Abaya. Abaya turns to Rav Yosef and says, Rebbe, the cholecha detani karka, karka dafka, everywhere the Mishnah says karka, it only means karka. Sometimes karka is an example, and we'll see an example of that. V'hatnan, we have the Mishnah in Peah that we've already dealt with. Hakotkev kol nechasav le'avdo. If you write everything over to your slave, now remember, here's what happens. If you give all of your property to your slave, that includes the slave, and he goes free. Yatzav ben chorin, plus he gets it. Shi'er karka kol shu, but if you left even a small amount of karka over, then the notion is it's not a full gift, and therefore the eved is not fully freed, and therefore everything he gets goes back to you as kol mashikon eved kon arabo. Yatzav ben chorin. Shimon says that's not the case, because if you left over some karka, still you gave away the entire eved. Until you give it away minus a percentage. So if you say everything minus 1%, a half a percent, a nano percent of what I own, I'm keeping, then that means you're keeping a tiny piece of the eved. He's not fully free. So you see from there, and by the way, the Amar of Dimi Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Elazar, and we'll see this a little later on, Asum metaltalin shiur etzelevet. If somebody gives everything away, but they hold on to some metaltalin, then that's still considered a shiur legabe evet. Even though the Mishnah said karka, even if you gave away all your karka but kept some of the kept of your metaltalin, that means the evet still doesn't go free. By the way, v'lo asum metaltalin shiur etzelevet. We'll see what that means a little bit later on. But as far as an evet goes, you see the metaltalin count, even though it says karka. So Rav Yosef, you see that just because that karka doesn't have to mean karka. So Rav Yosef answers, "Hata medinu lo din ikarka." Rav Yosef says, in that Mishnah in Peah, it shouldn't have said karka kol shu. It should have said anything, right? If you kept anything. But I did a ton of resha, but since the resha of that Mishnah was Rav Akiva omer karka kol shu chayv to pay bikur mitchtov alayim pruzbol nodi manu chasim sheilam achrayut keshvav chazaka. The beginning of that Mishnah starts with how much land is chayv in Peah. So Beit Rova, etc. And Rabbi Kiva then comes along and says it's karka kolshu. And that's specifically land, because we're talking about land-based obligations. And he says karka kolshu is chayiv and peya and bikurim, etc., etc. Since he was talking about karka, v'shumachi tani karka. Therefore, the response was, and talking about an eved, so they kept it on the line of karka. But really, it included everything. But in our Mishnah, there's no reason to say shir karka kolshu, because karka is not being discussed earlier. So Abaye then asks Rav Yosef the second thing. Since when is it the case that kol shu always means kol shu and doesn't mean a certain small amount? This is the second Mishnah of the 11th Perek in Chulin. It talks about Reishit HaGeiz, giving the first shearings from the sheep to the Kohanim. If you have five lambs, that when you shear them, you have a maneh and a half wool, chayvav reish nageiz. That's the minimal chiyuv for reish nageiz. Chum omrim chamesh chalev goes on kol shein, even if they only give a little bit. Kol shein, which should mean the smallest amount. V'amrinan v'chama kol shein, and the Gemara then asks, what is kol shein? And Rav Manel Pras, meaning between the five of them is a minimal pras. But that means that we understand kol shein not as meaning any amount, but there's a minimal threshold. Uvavad shiyuv mehu chumashot, as long as all five of them participate, hata medinhu delo litni kol shu. The answer is, really there in the Mishnah, it shouldn't have said kol shu. It should have said manel pras between the five of them. V'ayin v'kamar tanakama shiur rabba, since the tanakama gave a large shiur, amar iu nami shiur zutra. The response was a tiny shiur, and the way he expressed that was, kari la kol shu. But he really meant a small particular shiur. But in our Mishnah, there's no reason to say karka kol shu. It should have said karka or nechasim kadei panasato. And therefore, Rav Yosef is standing on his position that the Mishnah should be understood as dafka. It's dafka karka and it's dafka kol shu. And the smallest amount you leave, but dafka of karka means that the matana doesn't go back. But if you only left metaltalin, it would go back. Okay, pshita. I'm a metaltalin plonya. If you said, I'm giving metaltalin to plony, komane tashmishte kone, he gets everything that you use, your utensils, etc. Levar mi chiti usari, but not wheat and barley. But if you said kol metaltali leploni, you didn't just say metaltali. All of my metaltalin go to ploni. Afilu chitusar, you're adding that. You're saying, so that means even the wheat and barley that's in the storehouse. Afilu rechaim el yonah kanah, and even the upper millstone of your mill, if you have one. Levam rechaim atachtonah, the only thing that doesn't not included is the lower millstone, right, which is a base, which is karka. Kol dim metaltel, everything that moves, afilu rechaim atachtonah kani. Even that goes, because you're clearly adding, and that's something that moves, not really, it can get moved as a base. So here's the question. Is an Eved considered Karka or Metaltali? So we can learn it from the Mishnah at the end of the fourth parak of our Masechet. If you sell a city, remember cities are privately owned in some cases, you sell all the houses, all of the underground excavations, the specialty houses, the bathhouses, the olive presses, certain kinds of fields, and a discussion of what that meant. Avaloa to metaltalin, metaltalin don't go. Uvizman shemar hi b'chomash betocha, but if you say the city and everything in it, afilu hayu ba behemau avadim, even if there were avadim, which sounds like avadim or metaltalin, hare kula mechurin. So yema b'shto metaltalin dami mishumachilu mishdavan b'resha. If you agree that avadim are metaltalin, then I understand why in the first case, where you only said, I'm selling the city, that the Avarim didn't come along. But if you say that Avarim are Karko, why didn't they come along with the city in the beginning? All the Karko went. So then my Afilu. If they're Metaltalin, then why say Afilu Avadim? If they should be just part of Metaltalin. So the answer is that Avarim are sweet generous. You have to distinguish between Metaltalin that you pick up and move, and Metaltalin move by themselves. So I feel the tevin kapakaki dami. If that's the case, then you can't prove anything. Avadim might be considered karka. Shani makarka denai, makarka delonayit. It's kind of strange talking about mobile karka, but an eved, if he could be called karka, is a mobile karka. And therefore, a mobile karka is not the same as stationary karka. And therefore, when you sold the city, avadim don't come along, even though they may be considered karka because they're not stationary. So we have no proof from there. Amar Ravina Ravashi Toshma. So let's try to get a proof from the Mishnah that we just saw in Peah, that an Eved is Karka or Metaltalin. Hakotin of Lavdoko Nechasav, if you write all of your property over to your Eved, Yatsa ben Chorin, Shier Karka Kol Shalu Yatsa ben Chorin, Rav Shimon Omer Lelavu ben Chorin Ad Shomar Kol Nechasav, and to them the Poni Avdi Chutz Miachad Mirim Shoran, we already saw this. V'yam Adim Rav Yosef Amar Rav Elazar, Asa Metaltalin Shier Eitzel Eved, V'las Metaltalin Shier Eitzel Tuba, we already saw that comment. That if you gave everything, all your Karka away to your Eved, but you kept some Metaltalin, that's still considered an incomplete gift. Now, the Amar LeRav LeRav Nachman, my time, and this is the new thing that we didn't see. Why is it that we said that in the context of an Eved, Metaltalin are considered a Shiur, whereas in the context of Ketubah, we'll see what that means in a couple minutes, that Metaltalin are not considered a Shiur? The answer is Avda Metaltalihu. Avadim are Metaltalin. Metaltalin have a Shiur. Therefore, since an Eved is Metaltalin, if you give everything away and keep some metaltalin, that means it's an incomplete gift vis-a-vis the Eved, because Eved is metaltalin. So that isha mekarka hu, but the ketubah is collected only from karka. Tata the mekarka lo have a shir, and metaltlin are considered a shir legabe karka. Okay, good. So now we see that an eved really is considered metaltlin. So amrlei anam ishum dolav kru gita matnino la. He said, Rav Ashi turned to Ravina and said, we understood that reason not as being aware of Nachman said it, that an eved is metaltlin, therefore metaltlin are shir and metaltlin. But rather, we understood that if you don't, remember that in Shichur Avadim is a parallel, and many of the halachot of Shichur Avadim are learned from Gite Nashim. And remember, with a get, there has to be an absolute full excision. It can't be with anything held back. And therefore, Rav Ashi says, the way we learned it, the reason that if a master gives all of his karka away to his Eved, but keeps on some of the land, some of the metaltalin, that's a shear, is because it's not a full excision, not because an Eved is metaltalin. So again, we have not proven that Eved is metaltalin, and the general way that we learn it is that an Eved is considered a karka, for instance, in Yishboi, Nal Avadim, etc. Okay, I'm Rav Nachman. Hamisha ad shechtivu kol nechseyem. Rav Nachman made a list. There's five things in the halacha that don't work until you give everything away. Well, let's see what that means. Those five. Shchimira, avdo, ishto, banav, mavrachat. We'll see what they are right now. So again, as in our Mishnah that we're still discussing, if a Shchiv Mirah gives everything away, then if he gets better, he can come back, he can take it back. But if he holds on to anything, then he can't. That's one example. The second one is Avdo. We've already seen that. Ishto, here's the third one. Remember Shmuel's halacha that if a man assigns all of his property to his wife, he's only making her an executrix and not really giving it to her. But that's only if he gave it all to her. If he gave 98% to her, then that's a gift, and the other 2% go to the other heirs. Banav, what's banav? This is back in Peah. If you assign all your property to your sons and then give any karka to your wife, ibda ktubata, she loses her ktubah. And that's the comment that we made earlier. We said that if you withheld some metaltalin, that's still considered writing everything over to your sons, vis-a-vis the ketubah. Only if you kept some karka for yourself is not considering giving everything away. So it's only when you gave everything away and then gave some karka for the ketubah, then we say she lost her ketubah. And mavrachat, what's mavrachat? What's this? This is a widow who has property and she's getting remarried and she wants to make sure the new husband won't be able to touch it. So what does she do? She gives it all away to somebody else. But how can she reclaim it when the second husband dies or divorces her? It has to be clear that she was just trying to keep it away from him and not really give it away or sell it. So therefore, she has to write it all away, not part of it. In all four cases, besides the fourth one, meaning Shchiv Mirah, Avdo, Ishto, and Mavrachat, even if the person kept back some metaltal, then that's still considered an incomplete gift. The one exception is the fourth one, which is you write everything over to your sons and give Karkov to the wife for Ketubah. Even if you held on to the metaltal, then it doesn't matter. That's still considered giving it all away. Why? Because Ketubah was established by the rabbis to be collected from Karka. He makes one exception. He says if there are metaltalin that are written into the ketubah that she can collect the obligation from. In other words, if it's written in there that you can collect from these animals or from this grain storage and collect your ketubah, and they're still around, and he holds them back, that still is considered a shear, and it is not considered as if he gave everything away. But otherwise, metaltalin are not considered a shear for ketubah. They are considered a shear for all of the other four things out of Nachman's list. Okay, we'll pick it up on Daf Kuf Nun Amud Bet in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.